The backlash has hit and the train keeps chugging along with a focus towards ladders and briefcases and triple threat matches and everyone get these hands! Not these hands, because no one wants these hands. You get what I'm saying. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
This is before the song gets real, like real. This is America. What up, everybody? This is the Raw After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We got the dynamic duo back. The full squad is not here, but don't you worry. I'm here. TK's here. We're about to get it on, all right? Johnny LaQuasto at JQuasto on social media. The Hobo is not with us tonight. I believe he's doing more stuff with New Japan right now. Follow him at Baines Destroy. Of course, follow Markia McCarty at Markia McCarty. Hopefully, she's back very soon. She's doing other stuff right now as well. But the lady to my left, see her every single day on one of the most popular shows on television, TMZ. You don't know who's going to come by there. Kanye will, and he'll say some things, won't he? Follow her at TK Trinidad. She's TK Trinidad.
What's up, y'all? This song is...
It's amazing.
Fire. It gives me goosebumps every time I hear it.
I will tell you, I have not had a video make me feel this way since Pearl Jam's Jeremy.
Now, the question
is... It's been a long time.
So, somebody on the chat says what the song is. So, essentially, Donald Glover was on Saturday Night Live. He also said that Childish Gambino was coming out, which is... He is actually Childish Gambino. He actually came out with this video right after Saturday Night Live. It's called This Is America. It's on point. It's on fire. It's amazing.
It's very, very full of... Political, well, not political, social commentary, let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. So the key is whoever's watched the video, watch it again, but don't focus your attention on Donald Glover. Look in the background. The whole background of the stuff that while he's singing and dancing.
It's crazy.
A whole nother story.
Yeah.
So just kind of look at that. And then the person he shoots in the first thing is actually Trayvon Martin's father.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. The
guy
who's playing the guitar.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
Little
pretty amazing stuff. So let's get into it. And we have a fun show to talk about. We're going to get through it in about 40 to 45 minutes. Just the two of us. You and I. There's an old song for you.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. So how's it going, by the way? Everything good?
It's going. I mean, we're in May already. Like, Christmas is almost here. It's just one of those things where it just goes by too quickly.
Holidays are getting there.
I want to say, like, I'm prepping for the summer, but I already started prepping for my birth season, which is a thing. It's like 6 weeks long.
When is this?
You haven't heard my birth season?
I know.
Oh, okay. So my birth season, it's 6 weeks
long.
Never
mind. You asked.
Why are you telling him that?
Wow, Batman Anthony in the booth.
That's terrible. It's 6 weeks long. It starts mid-June. It goes to August. My birthday's on August 3rd.
Oh, yeah. We're only 3 days apart.
Oh, yeah.
So I have the same birth season.
If you want. You have to plan for it, though.
I have
a skating party.
I barely celebrate my birthday, let alone my season.
You're not a true Leo, then.
Really?
We'll move on.
Okay, fine. Monday Night Raw from Strong Isle, New York. Kurt Angle hits the ring and says, hey, Money in the Bank is coming. Backlash is gone. We never stop. Tonight it's going to be Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, Finn Balor. And now I was a little confused. Is this to qualify for the ladder match or just to qualify for a qualification match?
I believe some of the matches were to qualify for the ladder match.
What is the Reigns, Zayn, Balor? Is it to qualify? I think that's to qualify for the ladder match. Pretty sure.
I want to think that Balor and Ember Moon are both one of the competitors in the ladder match.
I think you're right on that one. Chat roll, feel free to tell us because it was hard to keep track.
Yeah.
But I think you're right on that one.
Some of them were like, they're going straight to like the ladder match and some of them were to like, I think Jinder was to qualify for the ladder match.
And he did neither.
Yes. So.
But he did have an effect on the main event. So, Kurt Angle is talking. Braun Strowman hits the ring, and he tells a wonderful, fun-loving story about a bunch of kids building a treehouse when he was young, and instead of breaking the tree...
Yes, Tony.
That was loud. Tony's on point tonight.
Tony, I know. You got some sleep.
Just getting to both of us.
Ate the ramen noodles. He's good.
So he talks about pushing over an entire tree... And destroying everything, which, Braun can say just about whatever he wants. And,
now, has he ever did any interviews where he said how, like, was he a small child and then he got a growth spurt? Or has he always been the big kid? That's what I'm wondering.
I'm assuming we're thinking it's all Paul Bunyan from the word go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, yeah, he tells a story, and then Kevin Owens hits the ramp and says, look, no one cares about Braun. I should have won the match last night. He said something about the wrong guy got pinned. I don't know if that was true with the legal man or I don't know. I really don't know. But anyways, he said he should be gifted a spot in the ladder match, and Braun offers to give Kevin Owens these hands, which was great.
I mean, did you watch the Kevin Owens 24?
Did not.
Okay, it's actually really interesting because he talks about, actually I might be confused, but he talks about either after he loses the belt or before. It just feels like he's not getting closer to any belt anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the 24 is supposed to be him as the character or him as the real Kevin Owens, but him as the Kevin Owens in 24, he seemed very frustrated. Mm. And I would definitely be frustrated too if I were Kevin Owens, because as somebody looking at it, I don't foresee him, because it's just so stacked with a lot of great potential and people who haven't had the belt, and Kevin Owens has had a belt. Right. So it doesn't really seem like he's getting a belt anytime soon, which to me seems very frustrating.
Plus the way he won the title, he was already gifted the title by Triple H.
Yeah.
So once that happens, you can't have a drastic thing like that happen again, per se. Mm-hmm. So if he wins it again, it's going to have to be kind of under his own merit, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin Owens 365. Thank you. Or the WWE 363. Yeah, 365.
I mean, those shows do a good job of blurring the lines between character in person, and Kevin Owens, I don't think there's a big difference between the two. Mm-hmm. So either way, those shows are done very, very well. So he wants an opportunity. Braun says, hey, you could get these hands. Kurt makes the match. Kevin Owens versus Braun Strowman right now, because Kurt Angle, what's the point of preparing? Just throw them together willy-nilly.
Well, I mean, you always practice, so you're always prepared.
Yeah, exactly. This match was fire right from the go.
Well, I mean, it was. Kevin Owens did have some times where he was, you know, he got where he's like almost chopping down the tree, which is what you do with somebody who's bigger than you.
But got to.
I never, you know, would have. I never. My hat was never for Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, Braun got 3 shoulder tackles in, and God, Kevin Owens knows how to just explode when Braun. And then again, it's not hard to explode if Braun runs into you, but those look so incredibly violent and amazing.
Oh, sorry. It's just somebody said, "Oh yeah, Johnny and TK backlash was a mess to you guys." Oh, I don't know what that means. Sorry, I was just trying to figure that out.
I don't know. He's asking, was backlash a mess?
Oh, okay.
To be honest, I enjoyed it for the most part. Yeah.
It was good, and I understand with the co-branding, it definitely makes it a little bit more exciting. But then it also makes you there's certain people that you want to see actually wrestling, like the whole Elias thing, I really loved, but then I also want to see, you know, some of them wrestle too.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, you can't get everything you want. It was pretty good for the first co-brand. So we'll see how it kind of.
My only thought is that it was too long. I mean, back in the day, pay-per-views would be no more than 2 hours and 45 minutes. That's always like almost to a T, maybe 2:47. Mm-hmm. Now you have Backlash, which it's not WrestleMania. It's not the Rumble. It's not Survivor Series. It still ran 3.5 hours long, mm-hmm, in an era where we already have a 3-hour Raw, a 2-hour SmackDown, 1-hour NXT.
It's not about us.
I know.
I think too, they also have the network too. So that makes a huge difference, because now, you know, even with DVRs or the award shows, they're going a little bit over than they were before, because now we have DVRs. Now we can, you know, access it in different ways. So it's not about us, because I've been saying that for a couple months, where it's like, you know, you have all that. Plus you have the podcast to listen to. Plus you have, if you're covering other wrestling organizations, it's literally a whole nother part-time job and a half. But
yes,
it's not. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, so. I mean, hopefully the co-branded pay-per-views lead to more important matches on SmackDown and Raw, mm-hmm, and everything there. But overall, I thought Backlash was fun. I mean, I thought every match, I thought people really brought it for the most part. There, mm-hmm, were some that were shorter than others, obviously.
Yeah, some were definitely shorter. I mean, I get why Carmella maintained the belt, but I really didn't want her to, which is probably good that I feel that way.
That means she's doing her job.
Yeah, so kudos to her. So.
And AJ and Nakamura with the Rochambeau match. Oh my God. The double kick.
It was just...
Oof.
I'm looking forward to How SummerSlam is going to be. And then also, too, I was telling, I'm going to butcher their names, but it was just announced, and I'm sure my folks in the chat know, but it was just announced that Marina and Jasmine, they were in the UFC. They've been added to, or they're starting to train at WWE, the Performance Center, which means all the four horsewomen from the UFC are now in the WWE. So just a little FYI. For my folks, I'm sure my folks in the chat know the deal, but just for my folks who are watching this a little bit later on.
That PC sure is crowded.
It's going to be, it's actually making me very excited for the women's division. I think there's going to be a point where in a few years, people are going to be more excited to watch the women's division than the men's.
When it comes down to it, I mean, a lot of people already are. And also, competition makes everybody better. And the PC is full of great talent on the male and the female side. So I think we're going to see a lot of good stuff when these people do get brought up to television. Yeah. And some are going to get weeded out. You know, the four horsewomen. Who knows?
Or they might be a women's wrestling show, which is another hour and a half or 2 hours that we can watch.
That entirely is a possibility.
For us. High five.
Bam. I'm on board.
30 hours of TV. Here we go.
So Braun Strowman ends up hitting the power slam for the win over Kevin Owens. Backstage, Roman Reigns is tired of being screwed over. He said, I should already be the champion. I'm the uncrowned champion because of what happened at the Greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia. He's like, I'm going to prove it tonight in the main event. And next, we have a whole bunch of superstars talking about how they want to win the briefcase. You have Bayley talking about it. Breezango, they want a new case, a briefcase. Goldust always makes the most of every second on television. He wants to be a star. He's going to grab the briefcase. Jinder Mahal is mad as always, and he's tired of being disrespected. Kurt's like, nah, man, just go prepare. You got a match. Boom. Simple as that.
I mean, for you guys who follow me, I'm a fan of Jinder, so I think he should. I loved it when he got the belt, especially when he had the whole, like, the entrance and all of that good stuff. Like I'm definitely for it, but I love the back and forth between her, between him and Kurt, as far as, you know, the setup, because Kurt can't just give it to him.
Right.
So, you know, and his complaining is just the right amount of complaining where it's annoying, but it's not annoying where you just hate that person. Like you hate him, but you still like him.
I think Jinder's doing a fantastic job. His character is really strong and you know, his matches are what they are. And without him being champion, I wasn't sure what direction he was going to go, but he's still doing a good job of being compelling, you know, on television.
He's doing a good job with just the briefs on, too. That's good hard work.
Next up, we got Titus World Slide, No Way Jose taking on Baron Corbin and The Revival in a six-man tag team match.
Oh.
Wow. Just as we
both saw that, and I was like, wait, what?
Just as we see a sign saying I had to leave the studio for a second. Could that timing have been any better?
That was awesome, because we both looked up like, wait, what? Okay. All right, well, Tony's in the bathroom, so he can't play the sound.
He's in a meeting. He's in a brief meeting.
That was perfect. Oh, my gosh.
Anyways.
He needs to do a...
The tag match happened. Ugh. Corbin makes a blind tag, ends up hitting the end of days on No Way Jose for the win. I already said it. I love this Baron Corbin we're getting. It's just him ramping up the crankiness, and I think it's great. Someone needs to like being a bad guy, and I'm glad Baron Corbin does.
Now, as a bad guy, do you feel like if you're a heel, do you feel like this is the role you're going to play, and you know that the belt is less likely to come your way? Like, what do you think as far as, like, the wrestler's mentality is like, okay, well,
I think when it comes down to it, if you're on television, that's a win. For me, it's not necessarily about titles. It's about making moments. For me, that's what wrestling is. Titles are amazing. But a lot of great moments are made without titles. A lot of people remember great characters over necessarily how many title reigns they've had.
That's true. And then also, John Cena on Instagram, he posted a picture, just said heel. So, I don't know. It's something to come. Yeah.
What was the picture of?
It was, it was like they were talking about it somewhere.
Cena posted his
Instagram? Yeah, he posted on, he posts some weird stuff on, whoever follows John Cena, like, please agree with me or disagree with him, but he posts some weird, like, he's not your typical Instagrammer. Like, he posts some weird stuff on Instagram.
Does he post, like, dad stuff?
And then he just posts pictures of, like,
what?
Other people's faces on different people's bodies. It's just kind of one of those, like, it's not your typical Instagram.
Yeah, what is this?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just a random...
And then I'm waiting. It's verified, so I'm assuming it's him.
No, it's him. 9.3, so, yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, I don't know.
He goes, these images will be posted without explanation for your interpretation. Yeah. So, oh my God, he posts really weird, random things.
Yeah.
What? Wow. Okay. I get, yeah.
Look at his face, like,
I'm flabbergasted. I've never looked at his Instagram.
I started
this
following
is
him
so
after the
weird.
Whole breakup thing. I was like, I wasn't sure, but then I was like, yeah, it is. Well, you know, so.
I don't see any posts that are relevant to any, like, there's nothing with him on it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you know what, though? His Twitter is where all his business gets
taken
care of.
Yeah, I follow him on Twitter, too, but this was also posted on Twitter as well, so maybe there's something. And then I don't think he's affiliated with any particular brand, so we don't know where he's going to be popping up, because he's a free agent.
Sure.
So
I think the Instagram is more for fun, and I don't think he has to post anything.
And he's not even following. I wonder if he was following Nikki Bell, and then he stopped following her, because he's not even following anybody.
I don't know. That's news.
TMZ bring
on. Of course it is. So Baron Corbin gets the win. Next we have Sasha Banks, Ruby Riott, and Ember Moon. I think this one is for the ladder match.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Ember is moving on.
Boom. Ember with a double eclipse as Ruby had Sasha locked in an armbar. She hits the eclipse on Ruby Riott. Ruby kind of just caroms into Sasha. Really cool ending there. But this match had a lot of great moments. Mm-hmm. Sasha did the somersault over on top of the way on top of the Riott squad, and a lot of good stuff here.
I like the addition with Ember because it breaks up the girl cattiness, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but it just seems like Ember comes in and she has an agenda. Her agenda is to win, and it's very athletic mentality, where it doesn't matter if you're male or female. Like, you put in the work, you bulldoze over people until you get the belt.
Yeah.
So I really like the fact Ember's in the mix, because it just kind of breaks up that, you know, stereotypical girl themes, especially with the Sasha and Bailey and that whole friendship thing. So I really love that, you know, how she's kind of going in and, you know, knocking Ish down.
Yeah, I mean, she's incredibly fun in the ring. Character-wise, you know, obviously, Tony, you totally missed. Literally, as you were typing that, we didn't see it. We did a tag team match thing.
And then we, so, like, yeah, oh.
Timing was on point there.
Yeah,
sorry. I'm so sorry.
No worries, you're good. I mean, everybody has to go. It's nature.
Yeah, it was a meeting. It wasn't bathroom.
It was, yeah. A meeting.
It's a very important meeting.
It was a nature meeting.
So Ember Moon backstage says she's over the moon. She's not an underdog. She's proved that she has skill, honor, and heart. She's going to rise to grab that contract in the ladder match.
Do you feel like she lost a little bit of her character when she came over to Raw?
No. I just think it's always been, she was that way in NXT. It was just, talking isn't necessarily, because she's ferocious in the ring and comes out with the eyes on fire. And,
right.
And then she talks and she's an adorable person.
Right.
She shouldn't be adorable. That's the thing. But she is who she is.
Hmm. I don't know. I mean, they go to the Performance Center. That's also included. So I wonder why it's so hard for the women to do that. Like, to almost go with a character, because even
I think it's hard for on both sexes, for sure. There's plenty of guys who don't necessarily embrace a character or can pull it off.
I don't know. I find like some guys more, there's more men who have it, and I think with the women it's one, like I am experiencing that too, where it's just like you want to, you know, be this direct thing, but you also don't want to be more masculine energy, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more of a, for women, there's more of that thing, like, because when you're an athlete, you're referred, and you do all that stuff, you're referred to as a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I think maybe the women, as far as finding those characters, is a little bit harder, because you don't want to, you know, have that masculine thing. I don't know. It just,
well,
it,
I will
seems
say
like
this,
more women are dealing with that issue than men.
I will say this, being a babyface in 2018 is really difficult, because the audiences are so just so jaded,
mm-hmm.
and they want to like hate everyone that they're supposed to like.
Right.
Whereas you have people like Alexa Bliss and Carmella are embracing those characters.
Right.
Those just, you know, they're embracing the kind of girl that everybody hates.
Right.
And they're really, really good at it. Whereas, you know, it's hard. Like, how can you be, like, Bailey struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And Bailey's the most adorable person you'll ever meet.
Right.
Just like Ember Moon is. So it's like, we're going to talk about Lashley in a minute. You know, that interview was great with about his sisters, but
right. It's kind of weird.
How will the audience react to that?
Because mm-hmm.
it's almost too friendly.
Yeah.
And it's hard to win that situation.
Well, he didn't come off, I mean, in before that interview, he didn't come off either way. Like, he just came off like he's, again, he's on a mission. With that, I don't know. You just see a powerful guy. It kind of put a personality on it, but I wish the interview was kind of too long. I don't know if it was a filler.
It was interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting, but it was just kind of like...
Just about her sisters.
Right.
Which is his sisters.
Right. Say, yeah. Or sisters, which is the same.
Three of them.
Which is, I don't know. It's just kind of like, it was good, but to be in the middle of Raw, I mean, this would have been the perfect time if I was watching this at home, where I'd go and like... make a salad or grab some popcorn or grab a drink. Like that would have been the time where I would check out. So I think if they shortened it a little bit and maybe referred people to like the YouTube page or something else to see the full interview,
right,
then that might have been better. But it, like, you know.
It was interesting because I'm as big of a Lashley fan as there is. I was excited to see him back. He was so good in Impact over this past decade. And I thought he was going to come back a lot more ferocious when he made it, but it's been, I don't know what angle they're going with. I really don't, because this interview, it showed family values, which is great. It showed his history, and I love the video package more than I like the interview. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I would have, like, the video package would have been perfect. And then maybe next week, I don't know if they're trying to build like a whole character, so now you're starting to get invested in him. Maybe next week would have been something else, but it was a little bit too long to me. Somebody's saying Bobby's eyebrows, were they not there? Or?
I don't know what that means.
Okay. All right, cool.
Who knows? Either way, though, I'm still excited to see where Lashley goes. The interview is a little bit strange. Maybe they'll build upon that. But yeah, Ember Moon, she's moving on to the ladder match. Congratulations to her. And she's incredibly fun to watch.
And where's Ronda?
Not tonight.
I don't think she was she? Oh, she helped to protect Natalya. We didn't even see Natalya this week either.
She's doing something. Who knows?
Then, like I said, this is for the women. It's gonna be interesting. Like there's so many great women coming up. There's so many great women. Like for some of you guys who don't know, so I also host the Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly, and there's so many great female wrestlers that I think it's gonna be on the same lines. Whereas, you know, even on Raw and SmackDown, we're gonna not seeing them because there's gonna be so many women on the roster.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I'm not very like happy about that. I mean, which makes the women have to be even better and work even harder. So we're gonna see a lot of great things.
Yeah.
But, you know, where is that, what's gonna happen? I'm like eager to see that.
Survival of the fittest. That's for sure.
Somebody said Bobby's eyebrows have been weird since he's returned to
I don't even look at
eyebrows. I usually notice eyebrows. I don't know. Okay.
I don't look at eyebrows.
But he looks amazing. I thought he was in his 40s just because of, you know, yeah. And you thought he was younger.
I thought he was like 36.
And he looks great. He looks great for his age. So,
yes, he absolutely does. He looks great for any age, let's be honest.
Well, that's true.
Sami Zayn complaining about a conspiracy to Kevin Owens. KO's like, don't complain. You slapped me last night. They argue back and forth. And Sami's like, look, we've got to focus on the future. All right, one of us has to go to the ladder match, and that's going to be me tonight because Kevin Owens already lost to Braun Strowman. Mm-hmm. Next, we have Jinder Mahal and Chad Gable back and forth for a while, but the Colossus for the win. Then Jinder just attacks Gable for no good reason afterwards, and that's that.
I don't know what they're going to do with Chad. And then when's Jason supposed to be coming back?
That's a great question. No idea.
And if Jason does come back, would they put him together with Chad because they were former partners?
It's a distinct possibility.
And the fact, too, when Jason comes back, like, when he left, because it was due to injury, like, he wasn't over. So would he, like, because it's been maybe 3 or 4 months, will he have to start from square one again to try to, like, will they try to build him back up?
Yeah, I don't know if the whole Jason Jordan Kurt Angle thing will continue, but we will see.
Ah, somebody on the chat said Ronda has been filming Shark Week.
The hell is she doing for Shark Week?
Who knows?
Okay. Whatever works.
Thank you, Marie. Marie and Joseph, and you guys are, and, well, I mean, you guys all in the chat, you guys are on point, so we really appreciate you, so thanks.
There you go. Alexa Bliss says she's going to win the ladder match for everyone who's been bullied. Her and Nia just keep going back and forth about bullies. Ascension, they're going to rise and turn all of Raw into a wasteland. Next, we have Kurt Angle backstage with Zack Ryder. They're in Zack Ryder's hometown. He's like, hey, what if I wrestle a match right now tonight? And Kurt's like, I'm not so sure. Then Jinder comes up. He's mad. He wants to be added to another match to qualify. Kurt says, woo, woo, woo. Nah.
No, no, no.
So, yeah. Which might pay dividends later on in the show. Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler make quick work of Heath Slater and Rhino. They have had a really good chemistry. Clearly been working together for, you know, I don't know how long, but... you know, there was a pretty cool combo flapjack from them. Then, of course, a zigzag Claymore combo for the win. But I love what Slater did, too. I mean, he had a couple really good jabs and just, you know, Slater throws good punches. So it was brief, but it was fun.
They seem like they're destined to be, and I would love to, I need to write down this question. I would love to know for wrestlers who are like in the middle, like mid cards, if they know they're going to be like mid cards for their career. Like they know that they're not necessarily good enough to be like the top guy. Are they okay with that? Or in their mind, are they always striving to be, you know, the top person?
It all depends on the personality. I mean, look at Daniel Bryan. He was an afterthought. He got fired with the whole Nexus thing because of what went down that one night when they took over and the way he choked out, you know, an announcer. And, and then he came back. And even then, no one really knew what he was going to be. No one ever thought he was going to become the biggest star in the company. So a lot of times it's
drive. It's timing and opportunity.
Timing and opportunity are big. And also you just don't know who's going to make that genuine connection with the audience. Ziggler had that for a while.
Yeah, what's up? Well, to mention, you were talking about Alexa and Nia. Do you think, because they already had the battle in Backlash and, you know, Nia won, do you think they should continue with this bullying thing, or do you think like they should move on to something else or move on to somebody else?
It appears that they are, because Alexa wouldn't have mentioned it tonight. So.
And I think, too, there's been reports that she's injured, so I don't know if she's going to be fighting or wrestling for the next couple weeks.
That I don't know. I will say I did enjoy their match last night. I thought I told a fun story. And, you know, Alexa found a way to get offense in on Nia Jax, even though Nia still retained.
Yeah.
So I definitely enjoyed that. It was fun. Next, we got Elias, who did not have a great night at Backlash.
It was great, though. It was very entertaining. It was a nice way to incorporate the people that we couldn't see. Russell.
Agreed. And said some stuff about Long Island. Then Bobby Roode hits the ring. Bobby Roode versus Elias. And basically a reversal from Roode at the end. Elias gets a little too cocky. Glorious DDT for the win. Afterwards said the victory didn't feel great. It felt better. He wants a Money in the Bank opportunity. And winning that briefcase.
Glorious.
Would be glorious.
Shout out to Bobby Roode too with the dance moves yesterday.
Oh,
very,
yeah.
Very interesting.
Him and Jose.
The booty shake.
I mean, if you wear a robe like that, you got to dance.
I know, but he's also trying to lift the robe up, and I think the second layer of it was getting caught, but he's trying to lift it over his butt, and he's trying to do the booty shake. It was kind of cute, so kudos to him.
So Elias and Bobby Roode, this seems to be not going away anytime soon. I think it's cool. It's hard to choose who should be the overall victor in this one, because they're both obviously rising, you know?
I almost see... and I don't think this will ever happen because they're all rising separately. A Braun Strowman, Elias, and Baron Corbin, like, tag team, like, trio. Like, that would be super powerful, but I think Corbin's ego would get in the way of everything. But Braun might put the hands on him to kind of straighten him out.
Yeah.
And they could be, like...
He'll put the hands on anybody.
Right, but like this tag team's like, look, this is what we're doing. And Corbin's like, well, you know, with us three together, the belt is realer or possible than us separate.
I mean, look, I will take Braun and Elias together any day of the week.
Yeah, but I feel like Braun and Elias is definitely a good humor, like a serious and humor, but you add Corbin in the mix as almost that, like, you know, badass little child that, you know, he's been stuck in this situation and he's dragging his feet, but when it's time to perform, he performs. Like, I don't know. I mean, that seems like a good...
We'll see. I mean, I think with Elias, it's going to be interesting to see which way he goes, because Bobby Roode, the character of Bobby Roode is meant to be holding titles, if you just look at him.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Elias, that dude is just so entertaining, and he gets dry humor. Like, he can deliver solid punchlines without cracking a smile, and not many people can do that. And that's what I appreciate about Elias. But you look at him, the dude's massive.
Yeah. Huge.
So I think he's got such a good future ahead of him. Obviously, I'm not even sure how old he is, to be perfectly honest, but... newcomer relatively, and I think he's got a great future ahead of him.
Yeah, Dylan Matthews says WWE should introduce a three-man tag team champions.
I mean, Ring of Honor has it now, too.
Yeah, and then...
Lucha Underground as
well. Yes, trios, so...
Yes, they do.
But, I mean, if we do that, then it's a whole 4 hours.
It's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
So...
Seth Rollins admits that The Miz took him to the limit, but he's still the IC champ. He issues an open challenge for the IC title right now. Mojo Rawley, newcomer to Raw, hits the ramp and says, I'm going to turn Monday Night Rollins into Monday Night Rawley. He's friends with Gronk. He's a former football player. He likes shoulder tackles, and he likes getting in that three-point stance, TK.
Shout out to Gronk. Gronk was in Bahamas for Carnival, and we have a video of him dancing, which is absolutely hilarious.
Shocker. So. He's so over football at this point.
Gronk?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you're...
I don't blame him.
When you're good, and they're still signed. He's making money. He's still
That's the thing.
He's living his best life. Hopefully he has a really good financial agent. He's good.
No, he's actually... I know for a fact he's really... I don't think he's ever... It's something like he still never cashed a game check. He just puts it all into savings. Yeah. He lives off of his residuals.
And then he has... I know 2 years ago he had the Gronk Cruise, so I'm sure he has that, which is, I heard, is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Yippers. So a lot of good moments here. A couple suicide dives from Rollins. Eventually hits the high knee and the curb stomp for the win. So he retains the IC title, but Mojo Rawley gets a solid moment in the spotlight.
Do you think he's gonna make it?
He's gotta be on TV more. It's like him and Ryder have a feud. He beats up Ryder, then he disappears for weeks.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that's a creative thing, or do you think it's a... Like, what do you think of his skills?
Rawley's done a good job on the mic as far as changing character. In the ring, you know, he's got like a Hacksaw Jim Duggan type. He's a lot of football stuff, a lot of power stuff. Hmm. You know,
we'll see.
I think he's someone that could probably benefit from an even more drastic character change. His outfit hasn't changed, even though his attitude has, but. Like, he would be a great protector of somebody.
Do you think that, because I'm thinking of who got inducted to the Hall of Fame. I think it's Jim. Is it Jim?
Duggan?
No. Is it Jim Duggan?
Who are you talking about?
Who got inducted to the Hall of Fame recently. He used to wear the overalls.
Oh, like, Hillbilly Jim.
Hillbilly Jim.
Yeah.
So do you think that, I know with the culture that we have now, as far as the PC culture and all that stuff, do you think that we should start embracing the stereotypes a little bit more?
I mean, I don't know how stereotypical you can get. I do love characters, and if anything's been proven by wrestling around the globe and on the independent scene and in smaller promotions, people still love characters. Mm-hmm. I just think the characters, they can be stereotypical to a point. They have to be intelligent, though.
Right.
They can't just be horribly, like, there's some dude that was doing some awful stereotypical Jewish character that has been called out on social media, and it's really bad and really stereotypical. That's garbage. But I think stereotypical characters can be good if they're done intelligently and in a modern era.
Right. Because it feels like they're embracing more of themselves, which is fine, but they're themselves is just kind of a cool, calm collective. Then, you know, it's hard for the audience to kind of care about them unless you create like this whole storyline.
Yeah.
So if you create a character where, you know, you might add a few of the stereotypes, obviously not, you know, more than intelligent ones, then it's like you can hop on board because it's like there's something you can relate to.
I think it's all about being genuine. I mean, look at our partner, the Hobo. I mean, obviously that's a strong character choice, but he was so genuine when he was that character, people took to him. Look at guys like Gentleman Jervis, formerly Jervis Cottonbelly. It's such a strange character, but his character's so loving. It's a 180 of what most people are nowadays. He's not trying to be cool. He's trying to hug you.
Right.
And people just take to it. So I think I think at the bottom line of anything, whether it's wrestling or entertainment or hosting, if you're genuine to your audience, I think people are smart.
Yeah.
And they can pick up your vibe. I think if you're genuine and you love what you do and you care about what you do, that's going to ring through the most, in my opinion. So regardless of what your character is. No. That's just me.
We'll see.
I don't know. Finn Balor says the victory tonight's going to be sweet. Then the Miztourage. They're leading men now in their breakout role. They're going to win tonight. Turn us on. Turn us loose. See what happens.
Their jackets. Huh? Jackets are lovely.
I love those too.
Yeah.
So fun. Then the Miztourage take on the Deleter of Worlds in a tag team match. You know it's the Mac Militant. Coming to get it on.
There we go. Yeah. Thanks, Tony.
Doesn't last long. Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt get that W. They are the Raw Tag Team Champions, and I'm down with that.
I would want to see, and I know I said this last week before Backlash. I keep on saying Blacklash. I know.
That's okay.
before backlash that I know it's the co-branding and they can't go like brands against each other, but like Bludgeon Brothers and you just said their name,
Matt Hardy, yes. And Bray Wyatt, the leader of Worlds.
They going against each other, like almost like a dream match, but it's possible because they're all in one brand. Mm-hmm. Like I would love to see something like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, like almost like it'd be interesting if they do like a pay per view where it's just like dream matches where there's no storylines. It's just what the audience wants to see as far as two.
I love that idea, except those dream matches, they want to be storyline at some point. So it's like you don't want to give it away. You want to make it big money. Because like if right. these dream matches become storyline, then bam, you got WrestleMania. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I know but what you're saying. Or
maybe those dream matches will create the storyline and then you'll lead back to that match.
It's good.
Just feel like I'm throwing out a lot of great writing creative ideas.
Why? AJ said Johnny dancing to Hall & Oates apparently. Did I look like I was dancing to Maneater or something? Private Eyes? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Beats me. Natty says she's going to win Money in the Bank and cement herself as the best ever. Baron Corbin says, I don't care what anyone says or thinks. I won it last year. This year is going to be no different.
No, it's going to be different.
It probably will be different. For sure. Main event time. Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns. Good God, this fight spills all the way to the outside. Huluva kick to Roman over the barricade. Then a coup de grace from Balor on Reigns. That coup de grace scares the holy hell out of me. I don't like how he lands. I mean, I know he's amazing. He does it, but the physical therapist in me panics every time, especially when it's outside the ring.
You know what I really want to do? And I saw a lot of people do it. Charlotte did it to Carmelo yesterday. The spear. I just want to do that to like some people.
In real life?
In real life, yeah.
Just
spear them.
Cameras are rolling at TMZ and you're just spear, mid-sentence. Yeah. Just
I've offered quite a few people and didn't make it on air to do, because I know how to do the rear naked chokehold. And so I've offered to do that to people.
You should.
I have it where I've for you guys who don't know, I used to work for iHeart, so I've done it to a couple of real 92.3 personalities. So okay. I have it on go on my Instagram. But I've been offering people. I'm like,
yeah.
They're.
Why don't you pitch it as like a separate digital segment that might not be on the show?
Like, come get this rear naked.
Yeah, choke. Just do something different. Rear naked chokes with TK Trinidad.
Just saying.
It's a minute long segment.
Just see how long they'll last.
Come on, Harvey, think about it. Have you pitched it to him?
Not yet. We'll see.
You should.
We'll see.
You should. Balor hits a missile dropkick on Zayn and then eventually a coup de grace for the win. That's after Roman finally makes his way back in. But here's what happens. Roman Reigns goes for the Superman punch, lining up for the spear. Jinder Mahal, to the delight of everyone in Long Island, interferes with Roman Reigns. And then Finn Balor gets the missile dropkick, then the coup de grace. So Finn Balor's moving on to Money in the Bank to the ladder match.
Do you think that this is going to help Jinder next week, or do you think it's going to harm him as far as Kurt's like?
If Jinder Mahal is going to be getting into it with Roman Reigns, that only helps Jinder. Absolutely. And I don't know what it means for Jinder. I don't know if the crowd's going to get behind it. What it means for Roman. I can't see. Roman has such...
It's such a weird energy. I feel like they're going to get behind Jinder. Now,
you're right. I think they will.
Has Jinder and Roman gone against each other? I'm trying to think.
I'm sure in life at some point they have. But...
Nothing like big, like storyline that I can think of.
No, but I mean... Yeah, I just... The crowds just won't give Roman a chance. And it's... Him and Joe put on an incredible match Sunday night. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who...
He's not embracing the a-hole. Like, he's kind of, like, on the cusp where, like, I feel like he needs to go full a-hole. Like, yes, I'm hot. Yes, I'm at this point in the company. Yes, I'm this. Like, feel free to hate me. But it feels like he's just on that cusp where it's like, you know, he wants you to kind of hate him, but he wants you to still kind of love him. And I feel like he just needs to go full a-hole.
I agree.
And just, you know, say, F y'all, I could care less.
Completely.
Because he tries to, but he's not selling it.
I completely agree. But the way Roman is with the fans, Roman could be going up against Thanos with all the Infinity Stones. And all Thanos has to do is snap a finger to end half of mankind, and the fans would still be rooting for Thanos. And I don't quite get it, but
it's the a-hole thing.
Maybe.
Because, you know, it's like it's almost like the person who knows that they're hot, and they know that you're coming out to them because they're hot. They know, and not only are they hot, they're good at everything. Like, I feel he needs to just embrace that. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like he's kind of like, no, it's because of my skills. Like, yeah, you have some skill, but it's because of this too. And just, like, it just feels like he needs to just go over, sit with the Avengers reference. Yes.
We shall see. But yeah, Finn Balor going to be in another ladder match officially at Money in the Bank in 6 weeks. I believe June something.
June something. Oh, I think it's going to be right at the start of my birth season.
Oh my! Woo-hoo! Cannot wait!
Just saying. We need to have like a song for my birth season, Tony, like in the next couple of weeks. And then you should,
yeah.
We'll create something.
We should do that. In the meantime, TK, put yourself over.
So, guys, you can find me on everything. Every social media at TK Trinidad. Yeah, all that good stuff. You can see me on TMZ Monday through Friday. I'm writing for a bunch of folks. I also do entertainment sports for a whole bunch of radio stations. Just follow me on my social media. I try to keep it up as much as possible. On Wednesdays, definitely check out Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly. We have some really great guests. And then we have some great guests leading up to SummerSlam. So
that's right.
Be sure to check that out.
Good deal. At Jay Quasto, let's see. This Wednesday, Hi-Hat in Los Angeles, Nuclear Heat Wrestling, they're putting on a show called It's for Dogs Without Borders. It's a really great organization that helps save rescue dogs from kill shelters.
Oh, wow.
The proceeds go to Dogs Without Borders. Really good card. I'm actually ring announcing that one. So if you're in LA Wednesday night, go there and support the cause. This Sunday, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, television tapings in Port Hueneme, Sunday, May 13th. Of course, you can watch us every single week on Fight TV, as well as our Arizona show. No matter where you are in the world, you can watch us for free. And I'm proud to announce that there's a new promotion out of Pittsburgh starting called Blackcraft Wrestling. They're putting on a massive event August 24th at Pittsburgh's Grand Hall. And I just got officially confirmed to be their lead commentator for that event. And I think they have a whole big thing planned out, other events in the future. And the best part is, every single one of you can watch that event. I believe it's going to be streaming live, just like pay-per-view style.
Now, Blackcraft, is that through Bobby?
It's the clothing line, yes.
Well, we are going to have Bobby on the show this week, so you can watch
get
that.
Get out of here!
I'll talk about that.
I have not had a chance to meet him in person yet, but I've been announced as their lead commentator. I can't wait to see who else I'll be working with. But yeah, August 24th in Pittsburgh, the Grand Hall. It's going to be a massive event, and like I said, you could watch it just like pay-per-view can. So it's going to be incredible. Very excited, very glad that I could be part of the team, and I think it's going to be something really great.
Also, live chat, thank you guys for being on point. We definitely love you. We love all the comments, all that good stuff. You know, without you guys tweeting and all that good stuff, we appreciate it.
And if you want to find out more about Blackcraft, follow them at Blackcraft Wrestling, all one word, and you can also check out their clothing line as well. And of course, follow Championship Wrestling from Hollywood at CWF Hollywood. Come out and watch some wrestling, guys. Make sure you keep watching. Make sure you keep listening. We love you. See you next week.
Ciao.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.